Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to RiskFeesTaxes.com, Higher Ground Financial Group. I'm Imran Rasby, and this is my son, Daniel Rasby. He's a tax attorney, and that makes this a little bit unusual. And most advisory firms don't have tax attorneys working with their clients. In fact, that's one of the biggest complaints we get when we have to do seminars and other things. People show up and say, I've been with the same advisor for a long time, but the emails always say, this is not tax advice. They may give me tax advice, but the emails say it's not tax advice. What does that mean?
Well, they don't want the liability for the tax advice because they're not attorneys, and many of them aren't even CPAs. So they don't want to give you advice that then they get in trouble for because it was incorrect. And a lot of times the advice is incorrect. So yeah. One of the common things you hear from your advisor is, I was just reading an article the other day that said, well, make sure you spend your brokerage account early in retirement and save your IRAs for later. Because that's a better tax situation to do that. No.
Worst off advice.
No. If you want the opposite, especially if you're going to leave the money to anybody, you want to spend the IRAs early on and leave your brokerage account for later. And then hopefully you have Roth or life insurance. You leave that for the last because that's completely tax-free. You want to get all the tax-free growth you can.
So that brings us to legacy, right? You're talking about leaving money for other people. And that's very important. People delay Social Security. They start using cash as soon as they retire. They don't use their IRAs, they use cash and they don't get Social Security. They're using all their cash money. So what is that doing? One of the problems with Social Security is it dies with you, right?
No. You get a death benefit, it's $255.
$275
for Social Security.
Not even enough to buy flowers right now. But the thing is, it dies with you, right? Your IRAs, your 401ks, those don't. So you take Social Security early, so you relieve some of the stress on there, but there's still a problem. So when doing legacy, most of these advisors, in fact, we've got clients that are with Ameriprise, with Schwab, we've had advisors that are working with these companies. They've actually started working with our company because their own company can't give them tax advice or legacy advice. That's a big thing because if you're working all your life, you're accumulating money, which is great. That's what your job is. That's what you want to do for retirement. But if you can do a good job and gain a lot of assets, you may want to leave some to your family, but there's no reasonable way that your company, your advisor can tell you how to do that.
And so we have actually two companies. We have the retirement planning firm, which is Higher Ground Financial Group, HGFG. But we also have my law firm, Higher Ground Legal. And that's the differentiator. So our law firm works with the clients of the retirement planning side so that we can marry those two and give good legal and tax advice. We have attorneys licensed in many, many states to be able to give you advice specific to your state for estate planning. And how do you navigate that? Because if you have a plan to leave money for the next generation, you want to, first of all, have a good tax plan. Mm-hmm. Don't just get a trust or a will done by an attorney that doesn't specialize in taxes. Many of them don't. I have quite a few friends who do wills and trusts for people, but they say, well, I don't do the taxes. You got to go to somebody else for the tax advice. And that's great. They're good at what they do. But the problem is you don't do that only. You need the tax piece as well. So otherwise, there's a lot of pitfalls, right? People come to us all the time. They've watched a video on TikTok or Instagram, and they think this is going to be a great way to save me a lot of money. Kids are going to owe all the taxes on your house unless it's in a trust. No, actually, that's not true. They get a stepped-up basis anyway, whether it's in a trust or not. What you save by putting in a trust is you save the probate, which is more of a time thing. It is also expensive, but not nearly as expensive as the capital gains that they try to scare you with. So it's very important to realize putting your house in a trust does not save anybody capital gains. It does make things a lot easier, a lot smoother. It does cost less in probate taxes and fees and things, and that can be very expensive. Depending on where you live, probate could cost even 5% of your assets. So it's not an insignificant thing, but that's what the trust protects against. And then people say, well, can I put my 401k and my IRA in a trust? No, you can't. You have to cash it out first. So you wouldn't want to do that, but that's okay because your IRA, 401k, your annuity
have beneficiaries.
They have beneficiaries, and it's okay.
And the trust can be the beneficiary.
The trust can be the beneficiary, but one of the issues is the trust needs to be some kind of trust that can pass through those assets. Otherwise, you get stuck paying all the taxes at once rather than the 10 years that the IRS gives your kids. So make sure if you have a trust, it needs to be updated to reflect that with the new laws, because many of the old trusts required the kids to stretch the payments with using a stretch IRA, and that's no longer legal. So that's one of the pitfalls that people have. You want to make sure you talk to somebody that can review it. If you already have a trust or will or you've done, you want our firm to review it for you, we can do that. Go ahead and schedule a free call at riskfeestaxes.com, and we can take a look at the estate planning documents you already have and give you some thoughts and recommendations on how to minimize the time and expense of passing assets to the next generation.
Yeah, I mean, your life changes, right? If your broker investment advisor is the best one, let's say it's Warren Buffett. He's your advisor. He's done a great job. But you know what? He has tax advisors. He has estate advisors. Those lawyers do that work because he doesn't do that work. So your advisor may be the best advisor for securities and stuff, but you still should have somebody that understands taxes and legacy because it's different. It's not the same thing. And so we had a client just recently, I think it was last week. She came on and she said, yeah, my attorney, he did my trust for me, but he told me I didn't need a trust anymore. So I dissolved my trust. I got rid of my life insurance. I got rid of my irrevocable life insurance trust. I got rid of all these trusts. It was just too complicated and too much for me to manage. And he just said, you don't need it anymore. Was that the right thing to do?
I mean, I really hope he put that advice in writing, because that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. She had a good estate plan and she dissolved it all. Because she thought it'd be simpler and stuff. She had a great life insurance policy that was going to provide a lot of legacy tax-free, and she closed all that out. I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls that you get into if you're not talking to the right advisor that is.
And she heard a rumor that in Maryland now you can do a TOD, a transfer on death. So she said, I don't need the trust name because they'll just transfer on death to my kid.
And she didn't realize that law didn't actually get signed into law. It was proposed, it almost passed, and it didn't pass. Now, maybe it passes again soon in the next session. That'd be great. But there are problems with transfer on death deeds. Even in Virginia, where you can do a transfer on death deed, there are some pitfalls, because what happens if you have multiple children? So I'm the oldest of 13 children, right? And so, if not everybody has 13 kids like we do,
right.
But let's say you have 2, 3, 4 kids, and if it transfers on death to your kids, then now all of them are on the same deed and they can't do anything with that house until they all agree in many cases. So that creates a lot of problems, and your kids may get along great. My siblings and I get along great, but when there's $500,000, $1 million, $2 million involved, sometimes that causes people not to get along so well. And we want you to not pass on problems and stress and arguments.
And not only that, you leave a transfer of death to your children. Well, what happens to their spouses or ex-spouses? Divorce happens, things like that. You're leaving it open to all of those problems.
And just having a trust doesn't fix that necessarily either. So here's an example. When we came across somebody just recently who had a trust. And the trust said, give my assets, as most of them do, say, give my assets to my 3 kids and split it up equally. And if there's a real estate, just transfer it to them. But the problem is now they're all 3 on one deed. So it does protect against the other family members or lawsuits, because it goes directly to that person that's named.
Right.
So that's good. But it didn't protect against this strife, a sibling rivalry that might happen. So we often, when we draw up a trust for a client, we'll create it in a way that says the house must be sold, or the house may not be sold, but that way you decide and not have the kids fight over it. Maybe you have a house, maybe you have a large investment account, give the house to one and give the investment account to another. Now they don't have to split an asset. Splitting an asset is really difficult.
Yeah.
And it's better if you decide ahead of time so there's no fighting over it.
And we had a client that had a beach house, and they didn't want that beach house to go away. They wanted it to be a legacy, the kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. So they set up a fund inside the trust that would remain to pay all the expenses of the beach house, the taxes, insurance, upkeep, and everything, and maintenance. And it was not allowed to be sold. It was going to be there as a beach house for their family for generations. So anything can be done in a trust. We just have to talk to the right client. Now, this client that got rid of all these trusts, she was advised because, well, you know, it's $15 million now. You don't have $15 million. You don't need a trust anymore. You know, this, we did put this trust in 10 years ago when it was only like 1 million, but not, or 15 years ago when it was 1 million. So it's 15 million. You don't need the trust anymore. That's complete fallacy because it's not the only thing the trust does. The trust does a lot of other things, and there's a revocable and irrevocable trust. You want to make sure you get the right kind. You don't want to mess that up, because if you do, it could be a real problem.
Yeah, and there are many people that put money in a Medicaid trust, which we do not recommend, and we'll get into that. I think you interrupted me, though.
Yeah, the Medicaid trust is not going, we don't do that because we don't want you to be poor. We want you to be rich. We want you to enjoy your money. So there's ways to keep control of your money and still enjoy it. There's lots of things. There's something called a SLAT, a spousal lifetime access trust, which is great. You get it out of your estate, but your spouse still has access to it. So you can still spend it. There's, you know, limitations, but there's things you can do. You need to have the right advisor that understands these things. And not just one person that does a trust or a lawyer that doesn't do trust. And today I had a client, not earlier today. She said her daughter's a lawyer. She used to do elder law, but she doesn't want to do a trust for her mother. She said, look, one, I'm family. I shouldn't do a trust for my family. Number two, I do divorce law now. I really shouldn't be doing trust anymore. But you did trust for years. Yeah, but I don't do it anymore. I don't want to make a mistake because laws change. You got to have somebody that's dynamically interposed into the law system, knowing what they're doing. And we deal with trusts. We deal with taxes. We deal with the finances and risk.
Retirement planning.
So all of that's wrapped into one. You may have had, like I said earlier, a great advisor growing your wealth for many, many years. But now you're in a different stage in life. Now you got to figure out how best to minimize taxes, how best to leave the legacy of your kids or grandkids or charity even. There's lots of different things. You got to make different decisions. Your advisor can't do that.
There's charitable trusts that you mentioned, charity. There's charitable remainder trusts, which we've talked about in this program before. And you want to have... If you do have any charitable intent at all, then it is helpful to have a charitable trust that allows you to take advantage of some of those deductions while you're alive.
Yeah.
Because giving your money to charity when you die is great, but it doesn't help you today. If you're going to give it, might as well give it today so you can have the tax benefit today.
Or even pretend to give it today. Get the tax benefit today and keep the asset till you die. There's lots of neat things to do.
Exactly. So, and when you say pretend, just to be clear, we're not advising anything on this program
to be illegal.
What I mean is there are legal ways to give away some access to the money, but keep some access so you get a partial deduction today. And that's what you're referring
right.
to. So all the things that we're talking about, there are individual situations, and not one situation is not one thing is right for every situation. So go to our website, learn about those three biggest killers in retirement, which are risk, fees, and taxes. Our website is risk.fees.taxes.com.
And one differentiator right now, if you really think you don't know if you need a trust or not, if you have a property in Maryland, you should have a trust. If you have assets less than $500,000, you may not need a trust. So just take a look at those. Again, that's some of the lines we need to draw.
But generally speaking, if you have a property anywhere in the country,
yes,
it makes sense to have a trust in most cases. But give us a call, risk.fees.taxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.